Okay, Abayisai, you know, usually I have siyata d'shmaya when I explain something the way I understand it. It works for other people as well, for Talmidim. But every now and then, you know, to get a nisoyan. So last week was such a nisoyan, I felt like the last half hour I felt very alone. It was very lonely in here. And the MS is that after the shiur, several people were talking to me, and then two people called me during the day. And I think that, we'll just explain it very differently, quickly, and I think it'll be easier for everybody to be typhus. Primarily, we were just trying to understand the two ways of learning our Gemara. One way was the straightforward way of most of the Rishonim, who learned that the cycle of Tumah v'Tahara is automatically regulated by itself, by when you get the Riyah. So there is no such thing as having a set day, a rigid day, that must only be designated for, and a rigid day that's only designated. It self-regulates. Therefore, it's possible for somebody to wait enough days and to be clear that they're out of the zone of Nida and Ziva. Mashenkein, the Rambam, who seemed to have learned that there's only an initial triggering from when the first time a woman has a Re'iyah, and then from there on, it stays the same. It's always 7-11, 7-11, 7-11. It always stays that way. So if you get the mashmois of the Rambam would be that it wouldn't make a difference even if for whatever reason the woman had a Riyah in the middle of Ziva. It wouldn't stop the next Yemenida from kicking in, even though she's not out of the Tumah Ziva yet. It won't stop the Ziva from the Nida from kicking in. So there's no amount of days that you could wait that would give you clarity that you're out of the Ziva Tkufa. Because you can always be in the middle of the Ziva Tkufa. You could always be in the middle of the Nida Tkufa, unless you know what day it is. So that's the dead end that we have with the Rambam. The Mishnah should basically say, if a woman doesn't know where she's holding, so she's stuck. She always needs for the till something happens significantly that uproots her veset, she needs to have Shivanakim, which was the Gemara explains, that was the whole point of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was to take the woman out of that zone of always needing seven clean days. That's the whole point of our Mishnah. Otherwise, seven clean days is always the trick. You wait seven clean days, you're tahor, no matter what. Seven clean days, you go to the mikvah, you're tahor. So the whole point of our Mishnah was to create a situation where a woman doesn't have to wait Shivan Akim, by creating a situation where she knows for sure that she's out of that zone. And the only way to say that is to start making calculations based on when she started seeing now and creating enough days that it cannot be that the next Riyah is going to be a Riyah of Ziva. But according to the Rambam, there is no amount of days that would do the job, because there's always the same 7-11, 7-11, 7-11. The seeing doesn't make any difference. That was the question. That was the problem on the Rambam. The other Rishonim was very pasha to learn the other Rishonim. So I spent a lot of time going through the Noi de Behuda. I think that's where the confusion came up, the Noi de Behuda, and then the Vest HaToli B'Shini HaGuf. Really, I brought the Noi de Behuda only for one reason. I was just trying. I'm not going to go through the Noi de Behuda. I'm just going to tell you one thing. I only used the Noi de Behuda for one point, and that is that without the Noi de Behuda, Vest is only the Rabbonim. So it wouldn't make any sense to say that Tumah v'Tahara on a Daraisa level would be triggered by a Vesta. That's the only reason I brought in the Noi de Behuda. I realize it made a big loop. But the point was one point. That although we find in the Gemara Vesta is a Rabbonim, according to the Noi de Behuda, that does not mean that it's the Rabbonim. It means the Tumah that's based on the Vesta, without seeing, just assuming that a woman is Tumah because today is the day, that is the Rabbonim. Because she has a cheskes tahara that's fighting that. But the concept of a vesed is the raisa, according to the Noi de Behuda. The concept that there could be certain factors, whether it's amount of days, or it's a feeling in the guf, that triggers the nida, that is the rice according to the negative. It's just that until you actually have a sighting, midaraisa you're becheskes tahara. See, even though the time has come, or the elements that occur during that ri'iyah come, until there's an actual sighting, the tumah is only midrabana, because of the cheskes tahara. So it's like the clock rang, midaraisa. It's not that the clock did. When you learn Vestas the Rabbanon, the most basic way of understanding it is that midaraisa, we don't hear anything. The Veset comes, the clock makes its sound. Midaraisa, it's we don't hear anything. The Nodibita says no. The Veset is recognized, the Rice. And that's why when the clock makes that sound, we hear it. And then we say, okay, the Veset kicked in. So that tells us that the woman potentially is Tomei. But against that, we have another clock. And the other clock is sending us a signal of a Cheskes Tahara. So the Cheskes Tahara doesn't allow us to be Noheg Tumah with this woman, even though we have it. It's like you have, the best example would be, you have Trey Keneged Trey. You have two Edom come in. Two Edom say Kach V'Kach, and two Edom say the opposite. What are we left with? We're not left with nothing. We're left with a suffix because that was created by two signals that have been sent. So halachically, we don't do anything. Halachically, we don't paskin because we're left with a suffix. On the other hand, it's not that we have no signals. We do. We have a conflicting signals. We have a signal from one set of Adam telling us one thing on a deraisa level. And we have a signal from other Adam telling us something else. In fact, we don't go basar chazaka. Exactly, Nisrachalidel. We don't go basar chazaka. If there's a chazaka comes in the middle to tell us like one way, we don't go by the chazaka because we already reached the peak of suffik. So the chazaka doesn't sway us. Normally, if we have a suffik, we have a chazaka, so we go by chazaka. When you have trey utrey, if you hold sveka deraisa, which means we're at the ultimate suffik, we don't go by chazaka anymore. Because just like another pair of Edom won't tip the scale, because we reach the ultimate suffix. So Chazaka doesn't tip the scale either. So the only reason why I was bringing in the Neid of Yehuda was to bring out that Vestas to Rabbanon doesn't mean they don't exist. They exist Midaraisa, and there's a Cheskes Tahara against it. And if for whatever reason, the Veset would not be fighting a Cheskes Tahara, then the Veset is recognized midaraisa. That's the point. Now, once we accept that fact, so now it already allows the Aruch HaShulchan's Chiddush. The Aruch HaShulchan comes and he says that although the Rambam holds that a woman who establishes a Veset, that Veset becomes rigid, and now it has to be uprooted, and it sounds like the Rambam is saying there's going to be a straight cycle of 7-11, 7-11, 7-11. He says that that's not the case. He says the only time that the 7-11 cycle continues is only if the Riyah was brought upon with a Veset, which means that days alone are not significant without also a Hargosha of the Veset. Technically, both need and ziva. But the riyah itself, that doesn't mean you don't become tomei. You will become tomei as long as you feel. That this is another area I think there was confusion. There's one hargosha you need to become tomei. Okay? That's nothing to do with the 7-11. Irrelevant of need or ziva, you need to have the hargosha. The hargosha means either you feel it coming out of the body, or you feel the Eber is kvedim, or whatever the hargosha is, you feel it open, whatever the hargosha is, that triggers, just dam, without that is nothing. So a woman could see dam for a year. If there's no hargosha, she's tohu. In fact, there was a tshuva written by the Noda Behuda, where Nebuch, there was a woman, she had like what we call today, you'd call it, let's say, a yeast infection. She had a type of a condition, skin condition. Now, it wasn't anything more than a skin condition. But because of the skin condition, she was never able to make a hefsek tahara. Because it would never come out clean. She would ever attempt to get a clean bedikah, couldn't happen. And they went around Europe to try to look for an eitzah. There was no eitzah. So some rabbanim said they can't be together. They can't live together. So it's pretty much the marriage can't exist. That was the one approach. The Noida B'Yudah wrote a fascinating tshuva. In that tshuva, he writes that just like Nida gets triggered by Hargosha, that means if a woman just had dam without feeling it, Midaraisa, she's not Tome. That's everybody's masculine. He says, so the same thing when it says Vesofra, the Torah doesn't say Ubodka. The Torah says Vesofra. So he says, if a woman feels that there's no more dam coming, she's margeshes, that could be, she could begin counting Vesofra law. So in other words, the woman just has to feel like, okay, everything ended. And now she could, based on her inherent feeling, she could start counting as Shivan Akeh. He was matzel based on that. It was unbelievable. He was matzel the situation. But the basis of his tshuva is doesn't say ubodka. It says v'sofra. So there's such a thing called margeshes. So hargosha is always a requirement. You don't become a nidah without hargosha. Midarais. It's called a kesem. If you have without hargosha, it's called a kesem. It's not a nidah derais. The Orach HaShulchan is adding another point, and that is that a veset doesn't mean a hargosha. A veset means in conjunction with having the dam and feeling it coming, there's another feeling you have. You're crampy, whatever that other... and that's the veset. The veset is a way that we regulate. We say, oh, that's the simen. So either we use days. L'moshel, today, how do we treat vestas and halacha? Today, vestas and halacha are treated as there's a vest ha-chodesh, there's a vest ha-floga, and there's a vest ha-guf. A vest ha-chodesh means there's a day in a month. And that's broken up. It could either be a day of a month, chofiyo, right? Or it could be an amount of days, ha-floga. It could be an amount of days between the last one and this one. That's one type of veset. Then there's a vest ha-guf. Vest ha-guf means there's physical feelings you have that you know that when they come, not connected to a day, when they come, that's a simen. And that's the other type of veset. And then there's what we call the Oine Beininus, which is a standardized Zman. The Orach HaShulchan is saying that according to the Rambam, the feeling, the Hargosha, okay, not the Hargosha of Nida, the Hargosha of the Veset, is a requirement in order for us to recognize the day as a day of Veset. So in other words, it wouldn't be enough that a woman has every Dalit Iyar, every Dalit of the month, she gets Dam. To say, okay, that's the time, Dalit Iyar. That wouldn't be enough. It has to be Dalit Iyar and something in the Guf. In conjunction. So a day on its own is not recognized. Just like an hour is not recognized in Halacha. An hour that's not connected to a day. Let's say a woman, every time she becomes a Nid, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. We don't say, well, every day, 12 o'clock in the afternoon is a Veset. What do you mean? She only gets at 12 o'clock. Yeah, but it has to be in conjunction with a time, with a set time. The set time has to be a standardized time of once a month, right? If it happens multiple times a week, potentially, that won't create a vessel. Because there is no set day. There's such a thing called a vest hafloga bediluk, which means that a woman could create. She could create that she sees 30 days, 35 days, 30 days, 35 days, 30 days, 35 days. That means that she's created a pattern of 30, 35, 30, 35, and you need three times of that pattern to occur. You need more times. In other words, if it's a set day of the month, you just need three times. Right? Chof of the month happens three times, chof of the month. Done, sealed. That's the vest kavua, right? Once it's haflaga, it's not a day of a month, it's an amount of days, you need four years, because you need one to start the cycle. And then you need three equal distances between the days to create that. Now, Hafloga Bedilug, you'd need many more times because you'd need that pattern of 30, 35, 30, 35, 30, 35 to happen three times. And then that will become the vessel. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan is just saying that according to the Rambam, if there isn't also a feeling in the guf, a set feeling, in conjunction with the days, then it's not recognized.
Not recognized for what purpose?
As a veset. And therefore, if a woman were to have a riya, with a hargosha, she becomes tamei, right? And then, in middle of seeing, let's get to the crux of the problem. The crux of the problem, according to the Rambam, is that in middle of seeing dam, you can switch from ziva to nida. That's really the ikar problem with the Rambam and our Gemara. There are other problems, but our Gemara, the main problem is that we were just waiting enough days to go, okay, you're for sure, at this point, even if it was started with ziva, it turned into nida. Or even if it's, you're out of that zone. But according to the Rambam, that's not necessarily the case. It could be that you went from nida to ziva, even though there was no hefsek in the middle, even though there was still bleeding straight through. But that would only be if in middle of those days there was a new hargosha that introduced that vesa to kick in. But if the feeling was the same, there was no new hargosha in the guf, which the Aruch HaShulchan says is safe to assume that that's what our Gemara is talking about. So that would mean that it didn't change. The Rambam doesn't hold that it automatically shifts back to the 7-Eleven without the hergish that welcomes that in. So in other words, the whole problem we had with the Rambam is that we thought it's so rigidly dependent on the day that there's nothing you could do to get out of that cycle. You're in a vicious cycle of 7-Eleven. It's like a monster. It's 7-Eleven, 7-Eleven, 7-Eleven. You can't get out of it. You're stuck. So Aruch HaShulchan is saying you're not stuck. Because unless in middle of that re'iyah, there's a vesa taguf that accompanies that re'iyah, then it doesn't change. So therefore, the Rambam is not back to the 7-Eleven. Because the vesa taguf didn't occur in middle of this re'iyah. And since the vesa taguf didn't occur in middle of the re'iyah, it's just considered a re'iyah, like the other Rishonim treated. Days, when we talk about days, we're talking about days. The Mishnah basically said that once you go past 3 days, you start getting credit. Right? Because then you know for sure you're out of that zone. Once you go beyond 3 days. So now you're clearly starting to get credit. The problem was, according to the Rambam, you're not clearly starting to get credit because it's all based on the 7-Eleven cycle. 7-Eleven, 7-Eleven, 7-Eleven. So the Aruch HaShulchan is saying is that no, because if there was no Veser Aguf in middle of these days, in middle of the Toya, the woman who doesn't know where she's holding, so she saw Dam for 3 days, and then there was no new Veser Aguf on day 4. He says if there was no new Veser Aguf on day 4, it doesn't switch. The whole problem, according to the Rambam, is we're switching. But it doesn't switch. It would go Yemei Nida to Yemei Ziva. It'd be a regular, just like the other Rishonim would say. Then you just make the Cheshbon like a regular Cheshbon.
What is the difference
between? According to Aruch HaShulchan, the only difference between the Rambam and the other Rishonim is that if a woman does have a Veset Aguf accompanying a Riyah, and that's her Veset, then that will automatically trigger the Yemei Ziva, and then the Yemei Ziva will automatically end, and then again, the Nida. You don't need to have Shiva Nikiyam from the Ziva to trigger the Yemei Nida. But the body has to have the changes happening. If the Shinuyim don't happen to the Guf, then the Riyah doesn't change. The Rambam would agree with the other Rishonim. So therefore, the fact that there was no Shini Aguf in her body during these 3 days, after these 3 days, So the Riyah doesn't change. The Riyah doesn't shift. It doesn't shift. So you could still wait and then count Shiva Nikiyim. And then, when she gets her Vesta Guf, that's obviously also part of this Mishnah. Not going to help her now, even after she waits the Shiva Nikiyim after all these days without a Vesta Guf. But then she'll get a Vesta Guf. And we'll be able to start the cycle again. Because she didn't have a new Vesta Guf. So once the Vesta Aguf will come in, then we'll be able to go again and start our parasha again. But the Yemei Nida will not begin without the Vesta Aguf changing. So Hagosha you need for Dam Nida and Dam Ziva. You always need Hagosha. But that's not a Vest. Vest means you felt a change that's associated with the Zman. That will only happen that will be the only thing that will trigger the 7-11 cycle. And therefore, if you didn't feel it, you didn't feel this new Shini Haguf, so nothing's going to happen. So according to the Rambam, the Yemei Nida don't begin. If the Yemei Nida don't begin, you don't have the 7-11. The whole problem was, we're trying to wait enough time that then once we have the Shiva Nikiyim, we know for sure we can start our cycle again. And according to Rambam, we didn't have that opportunity because possibly in middle of these days, we shifted to Yemei Nida. And then we shifted back to Yemei Ziva. But the answer is we didn't shift to Yemei Nida because we didn't have the Vesta Guf. So we couldn't have shifted over. Because the shifting over is only in conjunction with the Vesta Guf. And there was no Vesta Guf. So basically, according to the Rambam, the whole problem we had according to the Rambam is that according to the Rambam, it automatically shifts back to Nida, automatically, without any chilukim. So it's not pshat, she didn't become Torah yet from the Ziva, so therefore it doesn't shift back to Yemei Nida. That's our whole safety net. The whole safety net here in the Mishnah is that she didn't yet become Torah from the Ziva, right? So Nela, the Nida didn't kick in. So now you just wait a prolonged time, then you count Shiva Nikiyim, and then you're vaday ready to start now again with the Yemei Nida. But according to the Rambam, our problem was, even if you're still in the middle of the Tahara, in the middle of the Ziva cycle, right, in the middle of the seeing from the Ziva cycle, you're going to go right into Yemei Nida. Even while the Dam is going. And then at the end of that, you're going to go back to the Ziva. So it constantly is regulating without you even knowing it. That was the whole problem we had according to Rambam. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, no. The Rambam agrees that the only time the cycle will renew itself automatically is only if it was triggered with a Vesta Guf. Otherwise, it doesn't renew itself. So now, in the middle of these days, you want to say, well, maybe she became a Nida in the middle. And therefore, our calculations are off. They're not. Because our calculations only get a... Now in the middle of these days, and since there was no new feeling during these days, so go back to the 7-11. The 7-11 can only be triggered by a 7 with a Hargosha Saguf. And there was none. Correct.
So what's left of the Rambam's insistence
that there's a fixed 7-day period, 11-day period? The Rambam is only, there's a fixed if the 7 is in conjunction with the Hergish Haguf.
But it's really just like the other Rishonim, though.
It's not just like the other Rishonim.
Instead of just Riyah doing it, it's Riyah plus a Hergish.
No, but the thing is like this. According to the Rambam, once there's a Riyah with a Hergish, then the cycle is going. Then it's out of control. And then it's going to be 7 and 11, and then it's going to go back to the 7. You follow what I'm saying? According to the Rambam, the other Rishonim would say that once you become a Ziva, let's say a woman becomes a Ziva and she doesn't become a Zava on day 8, she becomes a Zava on day 10.
Of a Ziva period.
Then it conceptually is going to continue to go into Ziva land. But according to the Rambam, the Ziva period is only for those 11 days. No matter what. Eligible. If she has ergish. Exactly. But the other Rishonim hold that Tahara is required to get out of that zone. So it is different. The Rambam is different than the other Rishonim, but it doesn't. He's not as different as we thought. We thought he's in total isolation, and he holds that 7-Eleven is like a machine. It's a computer. It just goes. It's broken, exactly.
And that's why
it fits in our sugya. Now again, his pshat in the Rambam is muchach, because if you look in the lashon that he brings it from, that the Aruch Hanan brings it from, it's very clear.
It's broken forever, she'll never get back to it, right?
She'll never get back to it. The next thing will be when she gets a hargosha. So basically in our sugya, we're just waiting enough days to be able to now start Bereishis Bara. Now we're starting again. We'll have a hargosha with a veset. And if there won't be a veset, he'll be like the other Rishonim. In other words, if the woman will just see Dom without a special vestaguf, he'll be like the other Rishonim. So it's really, in order to capsulize it, it's one point. According to the Rambam, the renewal of the 7-Eleven requires another element, and that's the vestaguf. And I guess that's the way I should have explained it last week. According to the Rambam, you need a vest haguf to make a renewal. And here there was no renewal. And therefore, since there was no renewal, we revert back. So now we could start again. This is the beginning. We thought, Bereishis Bara Elokim, a woman needs to give birth to a baby in middle. Have a lay to some kind of akira. It's not true. Because the cycle, according to the Rambam, the 7-Eleven cycle, has a human element to it. The human element is there has to be a hargosha. Not just a hargosha to make her tummy, but a hargosha that connects it to the veset. And she didn't have that. Here she didn't have that. And the biggest raya she didn't have it is because then we would know. Then that would have told us. We're confused here because we're not having anything new. We're just having Rhea, seeing, sighting of Dam. So therefore, it doesn't renew itself. It's very simple. Really, it's quite simple. The main thing is the Chiddush that he says that the Rambam holds this way. But that, if you look at the Lashon that he brings down, it's really Muchach. Because the Rambam says, Kol Yimei Isha Miyom Shetikvo Atcha Teoker V'acharei Machal Asor Yom. And then he says, the koydem sheyovo yadam. I'm sorry, it's chavdal. The koydem sheyovo yadam targish ba'atzmo mafhekes u'mesateshes. The Rambam says clearly. He doesn't just say 7-Eleven. He says, and then before that dam comes, she felt these feelings. That means without feeling those feelings, there's nothing here. So that's what he's saying. The 7-Eleven is not automatic, and it's kemat b'feirush in the Rambam. It's once you see his pshat, you wonder what. How everybody else learned the Rambam. Seems so clear in the Rambam what he's saying. Okay. Tana Rabbana. We learned in the Mishnah that a woman, after this whole business of waiting enough days, she then waits 7 days and becomes Tohol. Because we're assuming that the worst case scenario, she's finishing off her Ziva. She waits the Shiva Nekiyim. And now what? So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, a woman had to bring karbonos at the end of a ziva. At the end of Nida, you don't have to bring karbonos. At the end of ziva, you have to bring karbonos. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbana, kol atoyos, all the cases of toys, zavois, they have a din of zavois, and then mevios karbon ve'en inecha. They bring a carbon, but it's not eaten. Meaning, you can't eat the korban chatos because potentially it may be a chun. May actually not be a chatos. It may be chun. And on the tzad that it's chun, you have two problems. Problem number one, you have it's chun. You bring chun into the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to, and then you're not allowed to eat it. If you shechted an animal that was chulin in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to eat the meat. So that's problem number one. And problem number two is that since the process of an oif is malika, so malika only works by kodesha. Malika, if you did malika to a regular bird, it would be a trefa. Because malika is from the back, it's using a nail. So the malika would normally make it into an avail. So there are two reasons why you can't eat this bird, the chatas oif. Because that's why the sugya says, ve'ein enecha. Can't eat it. For that reason. Now it's interesting, if you look at Rashi by us, Rashi says the reason why it's ein enecha, he says, the shema lo yame ziva hayu, umalikosa nevela. But he does not bring down the svara that, chulin bazora. That svara he doesn't bring down. If you look at Rabbeinu Gershon here, he does give that reason. Rabbeinu Gershon says, why is it ein nechal? Rabbeinu Gershon says, yesh kan beis fekes. You have two issues. One is sofik chulin ba'azora, and number two, sofik iser nevela. Right? Chulin ba'azora is actually the first one he brings. Because that's obvious. That's mamish obvious. And the reason why that would almost be more alarming is because there is a shita that holds ein shechita la'oif min ha'Torah. We don't paskin like that. But chulin ba'azora is definitely awesome. Kuli alma. This is what the Gemara, this is what Rabbeinu Gershon says. So why does Rashi not say that? So I think there's a simple explanation in Rashi shita. Rashi perhaps holds that malika, there are two ways to look at malika. One way to look is that there are two ways to shech the bird. One way to shech the bird conventionally, with a sakin, and to shecht it by the mokum shechita on the neck in the front, to do all the halachas of shechita. And the other way, the Torah unveiled a new kind of shechita, it's called malika. And that, by kodshim, qualifies. By chulin, you can't eat it. But does that mean that chulin doesn't recognize it as a maisa shechita at all? Or does it mean that it's recognized, but you're not allowed to eat it? What would be the nafkamina? Nafkamina would be, would this bird be tomei? If you did malika. Would it be makabel tumas nevela? If you learn malika is a bona fide maisa shechita, it's a real shechita. It's just that by chulin you can't eat it. It's still not tomei nevela. It's still be Torah. It's just you can't eat it. If you learn that midaraisa, by anything but kodshim, it's equivalent to shooting the bird. It's like you hunted the bird down. Then it will be tomei nevela. And actually, the Gemara in Zvachim Samachtes, the Gemara has a machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, whether if you did malika to a treifa bird. In other words, after you did malika, you found that the bird was a treifa. Something was punctured in the body, right? Is it makabel tumas nevela? Why? Because now the malika is not kosher for kodshim because it's a treif. That's mamish deshaila. If you learn malika as a maisa shechita, it happens to be chul and you can't eat it, then there won't be tamei nevela. But if you learn it's not even a maisa shechita b'chlal, so Rav Meir says that it's yoytze midei nevela, it's tar, and Rav Yossi holds that it's metamei b'nevela. That means Rav Yossi holds that malika is not recognized at all as a maisa shechita. It's only a heter by kodshim, but it's not a shechita. There's a tremendous nafkamina between these two ways of learning. First of all, the Gemara. And I hold the gabi chulin ba'azora. Because chulin ba'azora only asers if you did a shechita. If you learn that malika is not a shechita, so you did nothing. It's not chulin ba'azora. Because as far as chulin is concerned, you did nothing. It's no different than if you brought a bird, let's say you brought a bird into the Beis HaMikdash, and you shot it. It won't be awesome for chulin ba'azora. So if malika is not recognized as a maisa shechita at all, so it's mutter. So we know that Rashi follows the rule in Erevin, machloikis Rav Meir v'Rav Yossi, halacha k'Rav Yossi. So it comes out that the malika is nothing. Malika by chulin is nothing. That's why it's not also as chulin ba'azora. Rashi was only able to bring down the problem of of Nevela, because as far as Chulin is concerned, you didn't do a Shechita. So it's like you brought something in the Beis HaMikdash, but you didn't do anything to it. Doesn't become Osir. Somebody forgot a package of cookies in their bag and they went into the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't become Osir. Has to be you did a Shechita. You didn't do a Shechita. That would be the Machloikis, I think. Okay. No, regular shechita is a shechita. What's the problem? No, this is Malika.
I understand
that
there was only a chance it would be
an
Avela. Might not be
an Avela, there would be no problem. Then what would be not a problem? No, but it's only not an Avela if it's a carbon. If it's a carbon, I'm allowed to bring it.
I,
so I'm either way, I'm okay. Either I'm okay because it's a carbon, or I'm okay because I'm not doing a shechita. That's the point of Rashi. Either way, I'm clear. Okay. Says the Gemara, the only one that doesn't bring chutz mi pischa shiva u pischa shmoina, because there definitely you overlapped the ziva period, and therefore mevi korban v'necha. Says the Gemara, otu kol atoy zova. What does it mean? Everybody makes a mistake as a zova? So the Gemara explains it doesn't mean that. V'suye mecharu shneyomim v'asasuye korbanu. Elo, says the Gemara, what it means is, kol zavois hatois. Any one of these cases, which is a suffix zava, mevia is korban vein nechal, except chutz mi pischa shiva or pischa shmeina, she mevia korban vein nechal, because then you know for sure that you saw enough days that you definitely crossed the threshold of ziva, and therefore you're a zava of gemura, and therefore you can bring a korban and eat it. Zok the Mishnah. Ein b'negoyim, Pochois mishavua echad. Velo yoser al shlosho shavuos. The Mishnah obviously is talking about Hezger. The Mishnah is talking about there are two types of Negoyim. There's a Metzora Muchlat and there's a Metzora Muzger. Metzora Muchlat means somebody who became a Vadai Metzora. Vadai Metzora doesn't need to be closed up, he's Tomei. Until he becomes Tor, he's Tomei. Metzora Muzger means you're locking him up, you're seeing what's going to happen with the neg. You're evaluating. It's an evaluation period. That's a Metzora Muzger. So the Mishnah here is saying that on a Metzora Muzger level, you can't have less than a week, meaning you will never have a case where a guy is locked up for less than a week. The evaluation must be a week. That's number one. For lo yoyser al shloisha shavuos. And you'll never find an evaluation that will last longer than 3 weeks. Now, obviously, the Mishnah is shver because you can have somebody that gets Torah right away. You can have somebody that becomes Tomei right away. Almost every scenario is possible. So what does it mean when it says, Ein pochus, ein b'negoyim pochus mishavu echad? That's the Tiferes Yisrael's question. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi clearly says we're only talking about Hezger. Rashi puts in one word, Ein tor b'negoyim, pochos mishavu echot, says Rashi lehezger. So we're talking about a mitzvah that's being closed up for an evaluation period. So that's, then it's not shayach. Now Rashi said, now the Gemara says, pochos mishavu echot is going on nigei adam. You'll never have less than a week by an adam. You will never have more than 3 weeks. That's by nigei batim, by a house. A house could be locked up for up to 3 weeks. A person can only be locked up for up to 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, there'll be a determination, either tomei or tohar. But they cannot be, you cannot be locked up for more than 2 weeks. The by a bias, it could be up to 3 weeks. So that's what it says here. Now, the Gemara says that it's worse, meaning it's the worst case scenario is to be locked up for 3 weeks. The longer the evaluation, the worse it is. And that's why the Gemara says, Omrav Popo Tzikoscho Kaharei Kel, Hashem's Tztoka is like the Harei Kel, like the mountains. It says what? Nigei Odom. Because there Hashem has Rachmonis. You're becoming Torah in 1 week. Mishpatecha tohaim rabo elu nigei batim. Nigei batim, That's where we see the judgment of Hashem, because there Nebuchadnezzar is stuck, speaks, locked up. So really, Samazah, you have to know what the Gemara means here, because why is that a benefit? I mean, by an Odom, that means you became Tomei. I mean, why is it better to become Tomei than to be have a long evaluation period? So if Eliashiv in his Sefer here says that to be in a Matzav of Suffolk is the worst. It's better you know you're Tomei than to be in an evaluation period. That's the worst. So no, it's Tomei. Tomei is also good. But to say it's Suffolk, that's the worst. That's what he says. But the problem is that by a Nigei bias, you can also have, you don't need to wait 3 weeks. A bias can also become Torah. You wait a certain amount of time, if the nega doesn't spread, it could become Torah. So why it doesn't take 3 weeks, it's only up till 3 weeks. But you can have, why are we associating a Shavua Echad only to another? Shavua Echad is possible by Batim too. Yeah. That's when you wait. So the problem is, so you can have that by Batim too? So why are we isolating it and we're saying it's only possible to have a week? Gemara seems to be saying it's only possible to have a week by an Odom. That's the one question. So this, the Teferes Yisrael is Oymed on in the Mishnah. And he wants to say that if you look at Nigei Batim, you always have to do something. You have to scrape it out, you have to cut it out. There's something you have to do. It's not Tohar. So the Gemara wants to find Shavua Echad, where do you find a week that a person could become Tohar without doing anything? Stam, the Kohen looks at you and says, you're Tohar. You don't need any, there's no formula to make you Tohar. You're just Tohar because you waited that week. That's enough to make you Tohar. So we only find that by Nigei Odom. Nigei Batim requires some labor to make the Tohar. But really it's a kvetch. It's a big kvetch. Because L'chaira, we're only talking about days here. The whole Mishnah is talking about days. The whole Seder of where we're holding in the Masechta here is talking about days. Can't be less than this amount of days, can't be more than that amount of days. So the Tiferes Yisrael is throwing a whole new thing here. That the reason why we say a week associates to Nigei Odom is because you don't need something else. That has nothing to do with our Mishnah, really. Our Mishnah is talking about strictly the days. In fact, it's not clear even why the Mishnah shifted from Shiva Yomim to Shavua. This is a question I saw once in Raget Shavar. The Raget Shavar asks, if you look at the last Mishnah, Ein Pesach Betoya, Pochos Mishiva. Doesn't say Shavua. Shiva, 7 days. And if you look actually in Parshas Negoyim, the Torah doesn't say that the Kohen locks up the Nega for a Shavua. Vizgirei HaKohen Shivas Yomim. So why did the Mishnah here pick Shavua? That's not my question. Why did the Mishnah even pick Shavua? So there could be an Eitzah. That's why I asked Olam to look up that Sugya in Zvachim. There could be a shtickle solution. Because Shalosh Shavuos is not 21 days. Even though the Gemara in Zvachim seems to say that 2 weeks is Yudalad Yom. That was that Tosfos I asked you to look up in Zvachim. It says, V'avia Yorek Yorek B'fonel Tisoger. It says she should tisoga shivas yamim. The Gemara says kal v'choyim l'shchina abas oyim, 14 days. So there's a simple solution to that, because really when you get locked up for 3 weeks, you're really being locked up for less, like David's saying, because the seventh day is oyla l'kana l'kan. It's open for both days, and that's taka how the achronim understand why over here you can never have 3 weeks, because it's always going to be like that. It's always going to be, the seventh day is going to be part of the old and also the beginning of the new. So basically the seventh day is also the eighth day, right? And then the 13th day becomes the 13th day and also the beginning, the first day of the next 7 days. However, that's only because there's a din of Miktsas Hayem Kekule. Because part of a day is like the whole day. That only works if something ended. Miktsas Hayom Kekule only works if something ended. So, the Gemara in Zvachim is talking about locking up somebody for the Shechina for 2 weeks. So then there's no reevaluation. So then 2 weeks really would mean 2 weeks. In other words, the only time you get credited is where you get another evaluation on day 7. The evaluation triggers the new counting. So there's a mixus ayam kekula. But if there's no new evaluation on day 7, let's say the kohen would lock you up for 2 weeks, you won't get locked up for 13 days, you get locked up for 14 days. That's partial. The Mishnah still could have said, ain't been going pochus mishiva yamin. Right? And the lawyer Yoiser, and it could have either said, it's not really a stira with this thing. The Gemara could have used the amount of days, the right amount of days. Doesn't really answer the question. Doesn't really answer the question. Why it picked on to Shavuot doesn't really answer the question. So I want to tell you another idea and also explain what is a Metzora Muzger. See, Rashi says, if you look at the Lashon of Rashi, Rashi says, Shenivrorim b'shavua echad elu migei adam, that they get clarified in 1 week, im li taher, im li cholet. Rashi says li taher. So Rashi clearly holds that while you're locked up for that week, while the mitzvah is locked up for a week, he's a mitzvah. Because Rashi says that at the end of that week, the kohen is mitahar you. It's not stam that you, he's not machlet you. He's mitahar you, he makes you clean. So vayis techois from Rashi, it's a tahara. He's making you clean. If you look in the Shita Mukubetzes over here, Ois Dalet, the Shita says, the Repiresh, the Bishavua Achas Nichlotim, and that's it. The Bimeyas Geiroi Einoi Tome, says the Shita Mukubetzes, during those 7 days, you're not really Tome. The Chsiv Loyas Girenu Kitomehu. So there seems to be a machlokes rishonim whether these 7 days, when you're under evaluation, are you considered tomei or tor? According to Rashi, you're tomei, and you require a tahara. The kohen has to now be matayir you. And according to the Shita Mukubetzes, during these 7 days, you're actually tor. Right? Either there are certain things you're not allowed to do. Yeah, but that's halacha. But really, you're not a mitzvah. You are not a mitzvah. So the stipler in Taharas, he asks a question on Ashita Mekubetzes. He says, you have sugyas aruchas all over. Ain bein mitzvah muzgur le mitzvah muchlet. There's no distinction between a mitzvah muzgur and a mitzvah muchlet. What do you mean? He's not a mitzvah. Seems to be that the Shita Mekubetzes here is telling us that the person during the first week or second week that he's locked up, he is not a mitzvah. He's Torah. Well, he's being evaluated. But during the evaluation period, he's still viewed as an Adam Torah. Rashi says no. He needs a tahara from the Kohen. The question is, when the Kohen locks you up, that's the question. What is the definition? That's bezeh gufanu donim. What is the definition of being locked up? Is the definition of being locked up that you're Tomei? Or is, the Torah was machadish that there are three things that a kohen could tell you after he evaluates your nega. Number one, tome. Number two, tohar. Number three, muzger. Now, what is the definition of muzger? You're taking on, like the Shita Mukubetzes. Muzger is not defined in halacha. See, You're going to the next step and then you're bringing a raya. We have to determine what does muzgur mean. Rashi seems to learn that the title muzgur is a type of mitzvah. That is the timoy hakoyen. The koyen went and he said, you know what you are? You're a mitzvah muzgur. If he told you you're a mitzvah, you would be tamei, right? If he told you you're tahor, you're tahor. He didn't tell you either one. He said, you know what you are? You're a muzgur. Now, again, I was locked up. Let's go. I knew everything. I came to the kohen with an egg. The kohen looked at it. And he gave me a result. He gave me a result. He gave me a definitive halachic result of my test. He said, muzger. Now, what is muzger? Is Muzger a result? A positive result? A negative result? Or is it in limbo? That's the question. So Rashi learns there's a concept called Muzger. And from that concept, you need a tahara. You need to be, it has to be taken away. And the Shita Mekubetzes is saying, I disagree with that. Shita Mekubetzes is saying, at the end of the week, the Kohen will decide whether you are, should be determined Tomei. And if not, you're Tor, because you're Tor. Because Tomei. Okay, so that, the Mishnah in the Goyim is clearly mashma like Rashi. Because the Mishnah in the Goyim uses that terminology, that a Mitzorah, that's also the Lashon of the Lashon. If somebody could get me a Nida, a Maseches Nida, the big one over there. L'taher, yeah. He doesn't have to say Yitar. The sheet, that's the whole Shita's objection. The Shita's objection is, he brings down, look at the Shita, he brings down another Rashi where it's more elaborate. Gilyon, Rishakuntris, Yesh Mehem Bishavua Echad. There are Nigei Odom Bishavua Echad that are for 1 week. The Repirish, the Bishavua Achas Nechlotim. It's not a Nigei Odom for a week. It's a week to determine whether it's a nega. You understand? The Shita is saying that that's Rashi Shita. Now, if you look in the Maseches Negoyim, so the Mishnah clearly uses the terminology Tomei. Here we are. Perakei Mishnah Dalet. Tomei mitoich muzgo. He's tomei from being a muzger. Now, the stipler asks from halacha. Shas is full of mitzvah muzger, all the halachas. The only thing he doesn't have is priya frima. The only thing the mitzvah muzger doesn't have is he doesn't have the hair. The hair doesn't have to be uncovered. His garments don't have to be ripped. But otherwise, it seems to be he's like a regular mitzvah. That's the stipulous cash. The stipulous has a tremendous chiddush. He says he owes even according to the shita yatame. The shita just means you're not on that level. Because we find l'moshel a nazir, the days that he's a mitzvah, they don't count for his 30 days of nazirs. In other words, if a nazir in the middle becomes a mitzvah, he loses those days that he's a Mitzorah, they don't count for his 30 days of Naziris. But the Gemara in Nazir makes a distinction that a Muzger does count. So the days that a person is just a Mitzorah Muzger, that counts. So he says it's some other kind of level of Tumah. It's not the same level of Tumah, and that's all the Shita means. But I mean, if you look at the wording of the Shita, clearly not Mashma that way. The Shita seems to say, the Yemeyaz Geiroi Einoi Tomei. The days of the Hezger is you're b'chlal not tomei. So I want to tell you a simple idea, and it answers a lot of kashas, but I think it's a simple pshat in what this Yemei Hezger is during this Yemei Hezger. The emes is that I think what we have to determine, Aleph Beis, is what you have at the beginning of the Yemei Hezger, right? Is that a nega or is it not a nega? What the Kohen sees by you, is he looking at a nega or is he not looking at a nega? When he says, because that's really what our shaila is, we're clarifying what the word muzger means, but really, what's behind it is, what is the Kohen looking at? Is the Kohen looking at a nega or is he not looking at a nega? Or is he looking at something that might be a nega? What is the Kohen looking at? So I want to tell you a simple, you saw it. We find, l'mashal, a rash. The rash says in the Goyim in Perakei, that a person can never be locked up more like it says he had never more than 2 weeks. A human being. More than 2 weeks, he can't be locked up. During those 2 weeks that a person is locked up, right? Let's say there's a change. The nega goes, let's say, from being one mara, there are four maras negoyim, right? There are four maras negoyim. It could be a certain this color, it could be sheleg, it could be tzemer. They're different colors. What happens if the nega during that week shifts color? It goes from being pure white, and then it goes into a level of being tzemer white. Now the kohen looks at the end of the week, and he doesn't see any growth. The nega is the same size, but it's a new color. So do we say now it's a new nega? Now you have to wait another week, and then we'll decide whether you wait another week, because we're not keeping you waiting for 2 weeks. We're keeping you waiting for 3 weeks. But it's only 3 weeks if we look at it like at the end of the week, we're looking at the same nega. But if we look at it that since the color has shifted, now it's a new nega, so now the clock starts ticking again. Now you wait another 2 weeks, potentially.
That's what Raman says.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it changed color, the Rash comes in the Goyim, based on the Mishnah in the Goyim, and the Rash says that a nega could never be closed more than 2 weeks. He says, even if the nega changed color, it doesn't make a difference. Same thing. Asks the Rashash. The Rashash wrote a sefer on the Goyim. He asks the Kash, he says, I don't understand. By Begodim, by clothing, it's brought down Beferish, that if it shifts from Yirakrak to Adamdam, right, then everything starts again. So by Begodim, by Begodim is also different colors. And over there, when it changes colors, all of a sudden we got a new Panam Chadosh is Ba'olakan. It's brand new. So he says, what's the pshat that is brand new? And then he goes on to say, I have a raya that even by Nigei Odom it's that way. Because we find that if a goy gets a nega while he's a goy, it's not Matami bin a goyim. And then he's Megayer, he's not Tomei. Since the nega came when he was a goy, it's not Tomei. What happens if the nega changes color? Halach is then it's Nirek b'tchila. Then we look again. The gem gets looked upon. And now it's a new nega. And now he could become Tomei. Even though it's on the same spot, same everything, but since the color shifted, it's viewed again. He says, what's the difference? Why is it shift? The teretz really, I think, is very simple. There are two shilas we have to be done. One is on the person, and one is on the nega. Which means, just like we discussed last week, that you can have a woman who's not a neder that the Torah says you can't be with him. That was the whole pshat. You can have a woman who's not a neder, but the Torah says you can't be with her. Samach l'nidah, so you can't be with her. Clearly, all the Rishonim agree that a mitzvah is tomei. He's tomei. If he touches something, it becomes tomei. If he comes into bias, it's tomei. Nobody argues. The Shita Mekubetzes doesn't argue with Maseches Negoyim. That's the halach. And even if afterwards the Kohen makes him tar, it only works Mikano Labo, it doesn't work retroactively. The week that he was locked up, anything he touched was Tomei. So there can't be a Machloikis, Tomei or Tohar. It's got to be that you're Tomei. That's not a Shaila. So what is the Shaila? The Shaila, I think, is very simple. The Shaila is the reason why you're Tomei now for the week because a person whose Nega is being evaluated is Tomei. But it's not Tumas Negoyim. It's not that the nega is Tomei. It's that a person, a human being, who's awaiting a verdict on his nega, he is Tomei. He's Tomei because he's on weight. But if somebody would ask you, is this nega a nega? The answer is no, it has not been determined that it's a nega. The nega has not been determined to be a nega. The person who is on call waiting to what will be determined with his nega, the Torah said he's also Metamei. Just like somebody who has a nega is Tomei. Somebody whose nega is being evaluated is also Tomei, but it's not a nega Tomei. It's an Adam Tomei. The same Torah that said that a person who has a nega is Tomei, a person who's being evaluated is Tomei, but the nega itself, if you'd say, is this nega nega? Definitively, it's not a nega yet. The Shita is saying that the nega is not Tomei. And that's why the Shita says, I don't need a Tahara. Because once my whole tumah is based on evaluation. So you don't need the coin to now say this nega is tahor. I don't need the kohen to say this nega is tohar. The fact that at the end of the week, the evaluation ended. So I'm tohar because the whole tumah was only because I'm being evaluated. The kohen doesn't have to now make a separate amira that I'm making the nega tohar. Because there is no nega tohar. There's an evaluation. And until there's a determination that this is a nega, you're not tohar. The nega's not tohar. So now the halach is okay. So now, what does the Torah call a person who's being evaluated? The Torah says, you're also tohar. Do I have a nega? No. You have a nega that's an evaluation. But that alone gives you a halach. The fact that alone gives you a halach. Mimeli, you could say very simple. If I definitively don't have a nega yet, so long that it changes colors, nothing new happened. Because something new means that I had one type of nega, and now a new nega occurred. But I don't. And the raya is that if the nega would stay exactly the way it is now, I'm tohar. So I don't have right now something which is a nega. The raya is if it stays the same, I'm tohar. Ultimately, if this stays exactly like this for 2 weeks, I'm tohar. That means this is not a nega. If this would be a nega, I'm tohar. What's the halacha by a beggar? The halacha by a beggar is if the beggar nega stays the same, it's tohar. So that's why it's very different. A beggar that's on hold and a nega that's on hold. The beggar that's on hold, there even the Shita Mekubetzes agrees that there is a nega here. The proof is that if everything stays the same, you're tohar. The beggar is tohar. That means what I see right now is actually a maratumen. For that reason, if the color changes, now it's something new. Till now it was one type of nega, now it's another type of nega. On the orbus or on the skin, it's not a nega. If it stays like this, you're tohar. So now if it shifts colors, nothing happened. It wasn't a nega before it shifted colors, it wasn't a nega after it shifted colors. It's just a person that has a suffix nega, has halachas. And until he leaves that element of a suffix nega, it's all one suffix. We have a suffix if you have a nega. That's the reason why by begoyim, since the rashash is kash, by negoyim we recognize the change of color as a new thing. Something new occurred. By a nega adam, we don't. But that's only if the reason why you're not tomei is because inherently the nega is not yet a nega. But let's say the reason why you're not tomei is because you're a goy. Or the reason why you're not tomei is because you're a cut. So there the nega has all the qualities to be tomei. Then if it shifts color, it's a new thing. So that answers the other question. It's all one teretz. The teretz is that by nigei adam, when we're locking a guy up for a week, what he has right now is something that be'etzem is not a nega. It's something that has to be evaluated. If a change will occur, it will turn into a nega. It happens to be that during this status quo, while we're waiting for the determination, the Torah imposed halachas of tumen. And that would explain also why we find in the Gemara, Mitzorah is hukish lemeis. The Gemara says that's only Mitzorah muchlet. Mitzorah muzger is not hukish lemeis. Because he's not tumas negoyim. The nega is not a nega. What he has now is a nega that has to be evaluated. And the Torah went ahead and imposed a tumor while that nega is being evaluated. During that time, I believe, therefore, the machlekes between the Shita Mekubetzes and Rashi is a very small machlekes. The machlekes is whether that tumor that the Torah imposed, does that require a kohen to remove? Just like the Torah required a regular nega, the kohen has to go and be metayah. So Rashi says, you're right. Rashi also agrees that what we have here is not a nega. We have a nega that has to be evaluated. If it stays the same, you're tohar. That's the biggest proof that what you have here is not a nega. But once the Torah imposed a tumah, now the kohen has to remove it. The Shita Mekubetzes says no. When does the kohen have to remove it? Al p'em yeh kol riv v'chol nega. Through the words of the kohen, that's how you create a nega, and that's how you remove a nega. But a tumah, which is not there because of the nega, It's only there because of the evaluation. The nega is definitely not a nega. So then avad, it would not be applicable. So I think that would really be mitaretz, what's going on here. Well, actually, the Shavua Echad is a reason that this also explains why we call it a Shavua Echad. Because really, the Shiva Yomim that we used in the last Mishnah, right, is another Shaila here. During these 7 days, what happens if you lose count? You and the Kohen lost count during the 7 days. It says, Yahdat, this Giri HaKohen Shivas Yomim. What happens if during those 7 days we lost count? Do those days that we lost count, that we weren't mechaven to hezger, do they count? The mashal by Anida, the halach is if a woman lost count, right? Let's say one day she forgot that she was in the middle of Shivanikia. Could happen. And then a day later, she remembers she's in Shivanikia. Does that day, does she lose the minyan now? So the Sidrei Tahara and the Shloh hold, you got to start counting again. That means a woman, let's say she made a hefsek tahara on Sunday. Monday, she did a bedikah. Tuesday, she did a bedikah. Wednesday, she forgot. Not she forgot to do a bedikah. That's mutter. She forgot that she was in the Shivanakim. She was in a different zone. She forgot about it. Now comes the next day. So if she forgot to make a bedikah, but she was aware that she's in the Shivanakim, it counts. But if she forgot that she was holding in Shivanakim, she wasn't mechaven. The shloh holds you have to count. The shloh holds the woman has to say, Hayom Yom Echad. To the point that Tosfos asks a question, why does the woman make a bracha like we make on Sfira? Tosfos and Menachos ask, just like we make a bracha on Sfira, a woman should make a bracha on the Shiva Nekiyim. What's the halacha by a nega? Does a nega require knowledge throughout those 7 days, the Shivas Yomim, that each day is an independent day? So it really depends. If you learn that the nega to some degree is tomei right now, and the 7 days is actually a tahara process, then there's a tzad to say that you have to have knowledge each day independently, just like a nida needs independent knowledge of each yoim, you have to know each day itself. Taka, the Mishnah Achroina says that if the Metzora or the Kohen were Mesich Das from the Shivas Yomim, they have to count Vayter 7 days. It's just like tahara. But that's only if you hold that what the person is right now has a tumas negoyim. But if we view a muzga the way I'm explaining, it's only an evaluation period. So really each independent day is not important. The importance is that at the end of the 7 days, we're going to look again to see what's going on with the nega. But the nega doesn't need a tahara. It's not that each day is part of the tahara process. If that's the case, you don't need knowledge of each day. Which is ultimately the way we hold halacha l'maaseh. So actually the Ritvaz also says this, but Ritvaz has a different reason. He says when the Torah says Shivas Yomim, without using the words v'safra, doesn't require knowledge of the day. In other words, by nida, the Torah said v'safra la, she has to have knowledge of the day. Over here it just says v'zgirei Shivas Yomim. But the Mishnah Achrona holds not that way. The way we're learning, there would be no requirement because there's no tahara process here. It's not a tahara process. It's the end of the week. The evaluation is over. So it comes out, it could be that's why the Mishnah chapt, ein b'negoyim pochos mishavua, to isolate it from the last Mishnah. Shivas yomim is actually days that you have to wait for tahara. The woman has to actually wait. You may toya. She has to count each day as you may toya. By negoyim, it's just a matter of the time elapsing, this body of days being behind you. So therefore, it doesn't say Shivas Yomim. Shavua. It talks about the days as one big gush, as one element, not as an independent, each day as a separate day, because the days are not creating tahara. So I really think there's a very narrow machloikis between Rashi and the Shita Megubetzes. I don't believe that Rashi holds it to nega, because if Rashi would hold it to nega, it should be tomei, even if it stays that way after 2 weeks. And I don't believe that the Shita could say Toh, if the halacha is, it's not like that. The halacha is, if he touches anything, it's Tomei just like a Metzorist Metam. Okay, let's stop it.